الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين صدق الله العظيم. Most respected elders and brothers in Islam, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept us alive again to commence another Islamic year, 1440. This month of Muharram, as we have heard in the past, is a very great Mubarak month which Allah Ta'ala has called it via Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's informed us, but Allah Ta'ala has chosen this month of Muharram to be his month. Shahrullah al-Muharram. The month of Allah is Muharram. This itself shows us what a great month it is. Certain narrations explain us that the most virtuous fast after Ramadan are the fast of Muharram. The most virtuous fast after Ramadan are the fast of Muharram, according to certain narrations. So even the fasting is most very, very much meritorious, very virtuous. The month is Allah's month. Allah Ta'ala speaks about four sacred months in the Quran Sharif. إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ 12 شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ. No time to even go into the details of the translation of this verse. But Allah Ta'ala chooses four months for the entire year to be حُرُم, أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُم. Sacred, most sacred months are the remainder months. One is Dhul-Qa'dah, which we just passed, then Dhul-Hijjah, which we just passed, now is Muharram, and the fourth month in the year is Rajab. Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram, and Rajab. These four are very sacred months in comparison to the remainder months. So just to know, to refresh our memories about the month itself, plus the days of the Roza and the fast being more virtuous than the remainder times besides Ramadan. Also in this month we come across Ashura. It is a great day in the sense that it was a day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salam from Fir'aun. We know the entire incident that happened, a lot of details to it, how it happened, when it happened. The gist of it is that Allah Ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salam on the 10th of Muharram and drowned Fir'aun and those people that were with him. That is why we fast either on the 9th and 10th or 10th and 11th. One of the two options, either 9th and 10th, or 10th and 11th of Muharram. One was because to show gratitude of this, of Allah Ta'ala saving Musa alayhi salam on 10th of Muharram, and also that the people at that time used to fast only on the 10th, so we oppose them, and we do not follow their ways to fast only on the 10th, that is why we fast 9th and 10th, or 10th and 11th. There's more details to it. I'm just touching on each aspect of this month with the fasting, the virtues, etc. Let us just touch in this limited, very, very limited time on a bit of history of the Islamic calendar. Islamic calendar, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, second Khalifa of Islam from the Khulafa'i Rashideen, first was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, then Umar radiallahu anhu, Uthman radiallahu anhu, then Ali radiallahu anhu. He gathered the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to have a mashwara, and from there, each he took opinions from them, as we normally have a mashwara, consultation. Some said, start the Islamic calendar. In the past, it was being started from the year of the elephant, Amul Fil. We know the incident that happened when Abraha wanted to destroy the Kaaba. Allah Ta'ala speaks about in the Quran Sharif, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. That's a very famous incident when he went to destroy the Kaaba, how Allah Ta'ala sent the Azab and destroyed them, and the entire army was destroyed. So prior to this mashara of Umar radiallahu anhu, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, any incident that took place, it was dated back to Amul Fil, the year of the elephant. Sahaba radiallahu anhum at that time used to write letters, whether it be to Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu or like that many others, the different governors of different states. So to know what date it was, Umar radiallahu anhu gathered the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, what date, what significant occurrence, an incident that took place, they were discussing where to start the Islamic calendar from. Some were of the opinion, not many but some, with regards to the birth of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some felt it was from Badr. Badru, it was called Yawm al-Furqan, a very decisive battle, Al-Hasima. So some said Badr, the battle of Badr, start from there. Some said from Nubuwat, when Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given Nubuwat and he became a prophet, prophethood, start from there. But majority, and that is what Umar radiallahu anhu decided on, to start the Islamic calendar from Hijrah. That is why nowadays we will say 1439, now is 1440 AH, after Hijrah. This is by way of information, that how did this start off after Hijrah? Because the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they considered this Hijrah, this migration of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara, to be a very great, very, very great incident and occurrence in their life. Look at what they had to endure for this hijrah. Imagine ourselves in their position. Imagine ourselves in their position in their time. What would be our situation at that time? But they sacrificed everything. Left everything in Makkah Sharif, Makkah Mukarramah. And they migrated to Medina Munawwara. And what was their intention? For the sake of Allah, for the sake of Deen. Today, even if we migrate somewhere, we know what's our intention. Intention is something else besides deen, as on a general note. We'll say because of worldly matters, because of other reasons besides deen. This was such a great incident. Now make the Islamic calendar be from AH after Hijrah. Famous hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. This is a hadith that starts even in Bukhari, Sahih al-Bukhari, Bukhari Sharif starts off with that hadith. And like many other books of hadith, the importance of it, where the importance of intention, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, that our actions are judged according to our intentions. Lengthy hadith, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَةُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَةُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. What's your intention of the hijrat, of migrating? Is it for the sake of Allah? Is it for the sake of deen? You are judged accordingly and rewarded accordingly. If your intention is for some worldly matter, some woman to marry, or some other intention, ulterior motive, then Allah Ta'ala will judge you accordingly. So it was such a great occurrence, let us really ponder and reflect what it was. Put ourselves in that position, what would be our situation? So he decided on that, and you know what a great caliber, what a great status Allah Ta'ala had given to Umar radiallahu anhu in this world. لو كان بعدي نبي لكان عمر بن الخطاب. Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared openly that had there been a Nabi and a Prophet after me, definitely would emphasize it, لَكَانَ عُمَرَ بْنَ الْخَطَّابِ. Definitely, it would have been Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Leave alone what people object. We find many people today will object to these things. Why this and why that? Many different groups of people, without taking names of any specific, they can object to these things. To keep people's mouth closed is very, it's impossible. But what has to be done for the sake of deen has to be done. As long as the intention is correct, as long as the method is correct, mashwara is made, consultation is done, we continue with it. So people can object and say about Umar radiallahu anhu doing this for what reason, etc. But he was such a great person that even Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that had he been a prophet, it would have been Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. ما لقيت الشيطان سالكا فجا قط إلا سلك فج غير فج. One day Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to incident, he even addressed him. That, oh Umar, whenever shaitan, if shaitan has to meet you, has to tread the same path and meet you on the same path, he would opt to use a different pathway, a different walkway besides where you are walking. Because how strong it was in terms of being. So he decided that to teach us many lessons to learn from this. One of the main important lessons, which I'll try to conclude in this few minutes left, is this important lesson that do not attach deen to mere rituals and limit deen to these things. Had they merely looked at the birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, greatest Nabi, Khatamun Nabiyin, Rahmatul Alameen, we all must have love for him, then deen would have just been a mere celebration like today. A few celebrations, a few statements made, a few occurrences and few celebrations that take place, and after that everything is forgotten. Before and after, everything is forgotten. At that time, a bit of noise is made, a bit of celebration takes place. After that and before, where's the amal after that on the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So do not limit and do not attach deen to these things, of celebrations, of things of that kind. Rather look at the hijrah. Lesson to learn, what a great occurrence it was. What sacrifices they made. So we learn the importance of this, secondly of sacrificing in the name of deen with the correct intention. And thirdly, as I said, do not restrict deen just to a certain things. I recited the verse at the beginning, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. That when you become a Muslim, be a Muslim fully as a Muslim. Every facet, every walk, every aspect of our life should be in pursuant, congruent, keeping to the teachings of Quran Sharif and the Sunnah Tariqah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today what we've done, as I said earlier, limited deen to a few things. Some celebration during the year, some of us just to a certain days, certain nights, certain actions. When it comes to just our namaz, our salah, when it comes to Ramadan, our fasting and a bit of feeding, a bit of charities, some of us to a few other activities also. Deen is encompassing. Deen is a conglomeration, embodiment of every facet, every walk, every aspect of our life. Ulama have mentioned that deen, generally, all five departments of our life should be part of our deen. One is our aqaid. No time to go into any details of this, of any kind. Aqaid, our beliefs. What beliefs do we have? Today we find so many people are faltering even in terms of their beliefs. We'll be surprised today. Very much surprised. People practicing on deen. People could be even dressed the correct way, Islamically. But in terms of the beliefs, deficient. So one is our aqaid. When it comes to taqdeer, when it comes to adab of in punishment in the grave, when it comes to the resurrection on the day of Qiyamah, when it comes to aspects of Jannah, Jahannam, when it comes to so many other detailed aspects, what beliefs do we have? So one is our beliefs. Second, ibadat, our acts of worship, whether it be our salah, namaz, our fasting, our charities, our umrah, our hajj, our dhikr, our tilawat of Quran Sharif, that did many other actions. Third, mu'amalat, our dealings. How do we deal in the name of Islam? As being a Muslim, what type of dealings do we have? When it comes to our zaban, in Urdu you say zaban, Arabic say lisan. Our commitment given, promises made. We know what is our situation today. As we've heard many times in the past also, I'm sure others have spoken about these aspects. When a person has to confront you, you made a certain commitment to pay by a certain date, what you tell the person? You think I'm dying? You think I'm running away? You don't trust me? And so many other excuses, we become defensive and so many things we mention. But is that how a Muslim should be in terms of his commitments? So mu'amalat, our dealings. When it comes to our parents, when it comes to our children, when it comes to our spouses, husband and wife, when it comes to our creditors and debtors, landlord, tenants, lessor, lessee, when it comes to how we deal with our staff, when it comes to our neighbors, when it comes to our customers, our suppliers, and like that, so many other aspects in terms of our dealings. That is why we find today, people have said, which has some validity in it, that rather I deal with a non-Muslim than dealing with a Muslim. But remember, we should not have it lopsided, where a Muslim should correct his ways of dealing, where people should not go to that level. Don't drive them to that level of saying this. We should be rectifying our ways of dealing, where our Muslim, support our Muslim businessmen, support the Muslim enterprises, but it works on both sides. From our side too, from those who are purchasing or dealing, and from the supplier and from those people's side. What type of dealings, mu'amalat? Another aspect of our dealings comes to inheritance. Time and again we emphasize this point. So many times in the past, maybe 120 times we've heard this, in terms of how do we make out an Islamic will? When it comes to distribution of the estate, are we delaying in distributing? Are we oppressing and squeezing that blood out of those widows and orphans who are crying tears of blood, but the executives and those who are powerful and those who are strong amongst the heirs, they are enjoying themselves? That's also part of our deen. Mu'amalat and our dealings. Do we change the valuations of properties when it comes to the assets? Whether it be the properties, whether it be some items owned by the person who passed away, the deceased, so that the value be much lesser, other people are deprived and we are enjoying ourselves. This is also part of our deen. We can be in ibadat, our namaz can be fine, our dressing can be fine, but our dealings? So like that, the third aspect, first is our beliefs, second our acts of worship, third being our dealings. That encompasses, that covers every aspect of our deen. This is all part of our deen. Fourth being our mu'asharah, social interaction with people. There's more details to on that also. How do we deal with Muslims, non-Muslims, our neighbors, like that people in the community, nationally, internationally? This is also part of deen. And the fifth being akhlaq, our character. What type of character do we have? كَانَ خُلُقُوا الْقُرْآنِ Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, what was the character, akhlaq, of Pyare Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What she mentioned? كَانَ خُلُقُوا الْقُرْآنِ What was his akhlaq and character? In accordance, congruent, in pursuant, in keeping to the teaching of the Quran Sharif. Of patience, of tolerance, of gratitude, of like that, so many of forgiveness, of being large-hearted, accommodating, of muhabbat, not being jealous, not having enmity, ill feelings in our hearts, our akhlaq. All five, our beliefs first, acts of worship second, third, our dealings with people, fourth being our social interaction, and fourth being our character. All these are part of our deen as being Muslims. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the true understanding of deen as being Muslims, that we be Muslims in regards to all these aspects of our life. And also the important lessons of ma. And like that, the other lessons that we'll be listening to the ulama, whether it be on certain other nights, Jumu'ahs, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal wa akhidah, alhamdulillah. Thank you.